If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city didn't save me.
How are we going to do this in real time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That multiplied the chosen
the future.
Because you can inspire
in the future.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. You're legends.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on RMD, Legends of Tomorrow edition on Rain Man Digital. That is a mouthful. If you're listening from your desktop, take us mobile. You can find us on demand through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Search DC on RMD. And once you find us there, go ahead and leave us a review. Follow us, subscribe, whatever those options are. Please support us. Today, myself and Bob are going to be talking about Legends of Tomorrow Season 4, Episode 13, Egg MacGuffin. Ray goes all idle hands while Mick and Charlie go to rom-com convention. Rom-com-con. All the while, Nate and Zari are in their own rom-com? Adventure movie?
I guess. I mean, it was almost like one of those catch-a-killer dates.
It was like The Mummy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A little adventure, a little bit trying to bang the lady who's with you, you know?
It's my life.
Yeah, is it?
I don't know. Sounded good. did you see all the feedback we're getting about our Rain Man love line last week?
You saw that.
Pretty funny.
Oh man, I forgot. I was gonna start over.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh. I was like,
No, I was gonna.
Whatever you say, boss.
I'm just ready to go. But I was gonna announce this show and introduce it as being like, welcome to another episode of DC on RMD Loveline. But here we are.
Yeah.
And I forgot. Missed opportunities in comedy. Oh well. Well, there's still time this episode for us to talk about relationships and romance. Trying to seduce your teammate while confronting Nazis. You know, the usual stuff. So this episode...
it's a Wednesday for me.
Right. This episode was directed by Chris Tomorrow, written by James Egan and Tyron B. Carter. So, Brandon... brought Ray Palmer to a totally different level this week.
What did you expect? Because I didn't get what I expected.
What did you expect?
I don't know. I really expected him to be evil for some reason.
Oh, you mean for the character, just overall, not performance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I was expecting to just see some hard-ass, you know, Ray Palmer. Not him fighting himself the whole time.
Well, now we will.
Yeah.
But that would have been a very big like plot hole too when Neron said that you know a demon has to, well, maybe Constantine said it, but either way, a demon can't just like take someone. The host has to be willing, or they have to like force the host.
You have to break the host first.
You gots to break him. I mean that was necessary. I thought he did a great job, though.
He's funny.
Yeah.
I really feel like he should be in, like, more romantic comedies, like, on the bigger stage, not the Hallmark Network.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he's a good-looking dude. He has the chops to pull off the comedy thing. But and I don't know. I just think he should be doing bigger things with his talents.
I agree. I thought it was interesting that he can't even say Neron's name while Neron's inside of him. There's like something that prevents the host from revealing to someone else that they are possessed. Like they can't be the one to tell them.
Watching him choke on that word was funny.
Yeah. It was good. And brought a different level to it too, because, you know, you've got Gary trying to figure everything out, and he's just like, oh, you got indigestion? That's cool. I got the spell to cure what ails you. God damn it, Gary.
Fucking Gary.
And all the interactions with the crew as well, like all of that, all of, you know, him trying to kill basically everyone he encounters, at least briefly, and then inevitably beating the crap out of Nate, who like steeled up for a second, but I think he was too shocked because he got sucker punches in and stuff to really stay hard.
I was honestly, this is the most steel side of Nate we've seen in all season, right?
This is the most what?
Using his powers.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I didn't want to say this is the most Nate's been hard all year.
This is the hardest Nate has been all season.
And he was on a date.
Yeah. Hard. Oh, buddy. Sorry, got him hard. She did, though. She used her powers and spun him in front of a bullet.
Sex puns.
Yeah, this is absolutely the most we've been seeing his powers this second half of the season. 100%. The past few episodes, even. Just, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did Neron and Gary steal from Constantine? What did Gary slip out of his pocket? Was that... I think you think it's a time stone, right?
Right? Wouldn't that...
I mean, it has to be, doesn't it? I don't know.
I mean, because, right, Gary gave it to Constantine at one point.
Did he?
I believe so. When they got it from Nora. And so, but the other thing that was weird is like when I saw the stone go out, I was like, all right, well, that's the stone. But Gary has this little, I don't even know what they call it, thing that he jumps all over the place anyways.
Yeah. Well, but he doesn't have one for Neron.
True. We can't just open the door and have everybody walk through.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. What if there's other properties there? Or what if, you know, that can be tracked by the Time Bureau, which it probably can.
Yeah. Yeah. And bottom line is it doesn't matter what it's for. You're right. It's probably the tracking. They could jump through time without having to worry about, like, Gary opened up his portal for 73 seconds and went to 1922. So I'll buy that. And it doesn't really matter, because a lot of times it doesn't matter what Legends does. I buy it anyways. You know, they always do a good job at explaining why they needed it. And they go forward. It was an interesting turn to see whatever the hell's going on with this Neron, you know, and looking for a host for this Tabitha character that's come out of nowhere.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, and who the hell is Tabitha?
Well, Tabitha needs two nipples, and that's why Gary's going to be the host.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's so broken. And I honestly like...
He just wants to be useful.
Yeah, I think the... you know, even us at the beginning, they could do the same montage of fucking Gary through our show as they did in the actual show itself. To go back and reflect on all the times that they've been kind of mean to him. So I think this man is willing to, you're going to be a willing participant in whatever Tabitha possesses him as. So,
yeah. Also, God, so weird. So fucking weird with the nipple.
Okay, one, when he's like, I have what you need. I was like, what the fuck's like, in that goddamn box?
And I was like, please don't be the nipple.
What's in the box?
Please don't be the nipple. Thank you. Thank you for that. Six. Nipple. Oh my God.
And I was like, ugh.
Why couldn't you just leave it just sitting? Did it have to move? Did
episode one, if we would have been back, you know, like that nipple's going to be a big part of the storyline.
I'm so baffled that I just realized that I said the word six instead of seven. Seven is the name of that movie.
Wasn't going to correct you.
I'm thinking about a nipple crawling across the floor that was bitten off by a demonic unicorn. The shit that this show has.
Right? And the nipple is going to be some big part of the overall story. That's insane.
I don't have words.
Right? Like, how would you explain this to a viewer that wants to get into Legends of Tomorrow?
Well, see, all right, so that guy's a demon, but he was in the body of that guy's ex-boyfriend, and now
he's taking over Ray. Yeah,
now he's trying to take over this goody two-shoes over there, and he gave in because he didn't want to murder his friend, and this guy, well, he's the doormat. We've covered that this episode. So, doormat needs to be broken, you know, in order to let the demon in, or just kind of be like taken over, I guess, or seduced by the demonic magic. And well, so they're looking for another host, and this guy's broken enough, you know, I mean, for the most part. And then he
whips out a
box with a nipple in it. And right. Yeah, the nipple. Yeah, it's kind of weird. A demonic unicorn bit it off right before it went to hell. So it's been sitting in a unicorn's stomach in hell for a while now. So it's all infused with hell juice or something. I don't know. And
I don't have the exact scientific name
back
for it.
Onto his body, so now he's primed and ready for a demon to take him over.
Yeah,
that about covers
it. That's about it. And
all right, well, that's going to do it for.
That's where we get committed.
Oh boy!
Because it is insane when you say that shit out loud.
100%.
And it's a time travel show. We left that part out.
Right? Yeah. And there's time travel.
There's time travel with people that have died before. And one of these people is from the future. One of these people is a shapeshifter. One of those people isn't even real people. She's a clone.
Yeah.
Welcome to Legends.
Meanwhile, the Legion of Doom.
Yes.
That
is Legends. It might as well just start off that way.
Yeah.
It should be like Arrowverse happens over here. Then meanwhile, on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Honestly,
crazy
though.
Shit.
Honestly, what's the weirdest stuff you could think of? We threw seven 6-year-olds in a room and
draw pictures.
Told them to draw pictures. And this is what we came up with, a theme park for mythical creatures. Like,
yeah. And this is a superhero show.
And yet it's such an enjoyable show.
And OK, secret. What do we, I think we got 3 episodes left. I think there's only 16 for
yeah,
this one.
16.
It's winning. Right now, for
is
me.
It really
for me? Yeah.
Oh, okay, for you, yeah. For me too.
I like it better in Supergirl. I like it better in Flash, and I like it better in Arrow. It's always enjoyable, no matter what. Like I don't have
except
to
for the Bollywood.
Okay,
that was only a couple minutes of an episode, so I give it a pass.
Yeah, well, we can look past that. But overall, it's just like yeah, whatever. It's fun. It's an enjoyable. It's now turned into a guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
So I will accept Gary's nipple, no matter how weird it fucking looked, crawling back on his body.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And it was just like, and it wasn't even just the nipple, because before it was like you would see him take off his shirt and there'd be like basically a pasty over where his nipple was.
Yeah.
Like that was a whole chunk of his chest. And why hasn't Gideon just fucking lasered his nipple back on him by now?
I don't know. Like there has to come on. Gideon can fix stuff. You're telling me she couldn't, like, I don't know, grow back this. Also, like, Ray is a physicist and shit. Like, you're telling me, I mean, maybe physics is different than biology, whatever. But you're telling me that one of those brilliant minds in the Arrowverse and or Gideon, the supercomputer from who knows when, couldn't make him a new nipple or regrow those cells or
something. We've seen them do so much things with that computer.
People tattoo realistic looking nipples on women who have had their breasts removed because of cancer. Gary can get a nipple back. You know what I mean? Like something. But he's been neglected because he's the doormat.
Yep. That makes perfect sense.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump into all the romantic stuff, I guess.
Ish.
Ish.
Trying to listen to this guy. He gives a hell of a speech.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Why do you have to take it to the level of photographs and like, hey, I know you don't want to see this, but this will strengthen our friendship with these horrifying images.
He sounded like he was interested.
Okay.
Did he?
How does I don't want to see any photos, Andrew, equate to me?
Please show me some photos, Andrew.
How does that happen?
It's like, you know how guys are hanging out and it's like, oh man, this tastes awful. Here, have a bite.
What?
Have you not?
Wait, guys, what?
Did you hear the pre-show?
Then one thing leads to another. Next thing you know,
fist up the ass.
Next thing you know, your dick's in the other guy's ass.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
But at the same time, then you wouldn't have this feeling that, okay, so Lucifer's just what? Sitting on his hands and knees?
With King Shark.
You're getting,
I was getting,
getting
a shark tattoo. And like, what I watched the episode after.
The way it ended. I mean, you end it with Rey climbing the mountain, holding out the lightsaber to Luke. And
funny
Luke
that some of my favorite Westerns are coming from the Euro countries. Mm-hmm. To this day, directors and writers are able to bring the heat in terms of America.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Mad Max was really good, but they washed out a lot of it to kind of hide the special effects that they were doing.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen from the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
And the Barracuda!
Yeah! All right, we are back. Let's talk about... Let's tackle the Romanticon first. First note from Bob.
This is a personal note.
I hate Mona. It's scribbled in red marker all across.
It's cut out of newspapers.
Yeah. It's all different mismatching magazine letters.
I can't stand her.
No. Like, she ruins everything.
Like, why would you do that? Like, if I'm caught in the lie or whatever, why would you do that? Like, if, oh shit, I'm going to go see that. And if you're up there, I'm not going to fucking rat you out in front of a bunch of people. Yeah. Get all fucking pissy.
If I saw you up on stage pretending to be someone, I would not stand up in front of everyone and get you caught. I'd be like,
how's that fucking mob to be at me?
I would go, wait a second. There's no way. I need to see how this plays out. What the hell was that? I'd confront you afterwards.
Yeah, it's like, what's this asshole's end game here? Something's going on. Oh, man.
It was so frustrating. At what point do we get rid of Mona? Like, honestly.
Mick should fucking take his gun out and fucking shoot her.
Well.
Catch her on fire.
Yeah, it's, she'd be more like
smell like a bunch of burnt hair,
like a cooked dog. But yeah, I honestly, you know, I hate to just hate on a character for the sake of it. But like, God, why? Why is she here now? To fill the shoes of an Asian on the show? Like, is that it?
I honestly have no clue. I don't know what her purpose is. I don't see her having any kind of influence on the story other than not. She's fucking with time travel in general.
She's an obnoxious little, like, do-gooder. But, like, not even a do-gooder. I don't know. She's obnoxious and she ruins everything.
And she asked the worst con question ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
In season 2, episode 15 of Battlestar Galactica, what was the purpose of this character's story arc? Like, come on.
In the cafeteria scene, you ate right-handed for the first time. Was there a reason? Wait, what?
What was the philosophy behind it?
What were you thinking as you put the goop in your mouth?
Yeah. Just kill me.
Yeah. She was every annoying con person ever. Why don't you know? I don't know everything about everything. Sorry. My bad. And to do that to supposed, I wouldn't even call them friends, colleagues.
Yeah.
Is the worst part. You know, we joke around on Rain Man about having Facebook backup homies. No matter what you post, I got your back. Yep, he's right. And then I might call you and tell you later, hey, yo, you fucked up on that one, but I always got your back. Yeah, she was horrible. Like, when she got the notification and left book club, I was like, don't, no, no. I was enjoying watching Charlie and Mick run around as, like, bodyguard. In
honestly.
Yeah, and it ruined it. Ruined.
I would have much rather seen Mick just like watch Charlie get like stumped by a question or not answer it right and him get frustrated and just go up there and take the mic out of her hand and reveal that he's Rebecca Silver.
Yeah.
Rather than Mona being a brat. That's what she is. She's a child. She's a bratty child that just wants to get her way and wants to just like tattletale on everyone. Like, just honestly, fuck off to Hawaii or something, Mona.
Yeah.
Just why? She is the worst part of the show, and luckily, she is not bad enough to make me dislike what's going on with all the rest of the characters. Because, I don't think that's really like about how her character is written or anything. I don't think it's a like something in her favor. I think it's how well everyone else is written and how well the rest of the actors work together.
Yeah, the rest of the crew, the ensemble carries her.
They are so strong that they're able to carry a horrible character. And that's amazing.
Yeah, there's no redeeming quality about Mona. There's nothing they can do in 3 episodes that's going to make me go, oh, okay, she had a purpose.
Yeah, they could have had they started a couple episodes ago. But now that I've seen no improvement. And in 3 episodes, when we're coming up to the final battle with Neron, there's no way.
Yeah.
And there's no especially way. With her unless she sacrifices herself.
Yeah, especially with her attitude basically going Teen Wolf now. Where it's like, oh, you make me angry. Eyes get red. Brr.
Dude, she's just she has an attitude with everyone about everything. If she doesn't get her way or something isn't perfect. Like, she's just, gosh, she sucks. But Romanticon was funny. Watching nerds in costumes make out. That's something I'm accustomed to. Sounds weirder than it is.
Was it like 90% female?
Yeah, 100%. And stuff like that always would be.
Oh, you know what I mean? Well, I just imagine because have you ever heard of, what is it, Clexicon?
Yeah.
The gay and lesbian film and TV. I always want to go there because a lot of our characters from our shows go and it's only in Vegas. But I feel like I'd be the only dude wandering around and be like, hey, can you sign a show poster? Thank you.
Well, if you ever want me to go for you.
Yeah, because I know a good majority of the cast members from our shows go.
I know.
And I always feel like it's one of those ones we, you know, again, being only 4.5 hours away, we should be trying to attend. But I don't know. That's what I feel like it would be like. Well, I would be Mick wandering around in there, knowing a lot of stuff.
It's open to allies, and you are an ally.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just get in touch with some gay feelings for a weekend. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Touch my gay feelings?
Get in touch with your gay feelings.
So confused. About
well, welcome.
You're on your way to Clexicon.
Congratulations. You've just won a trip for two to Clexicon. But yeah, the con itself was funny. It was interesting watching Charlie be the one that's like even more just like crass and like, ah, screw everyone than Mick. Mick normally isn't concerned with being polite to people and stuff like that. He's just like, I don't care. But he scolded her for being rude.
Yeah, you know that dude has some passion for his book.
Yeah, he loves this shit. That's his passion. It's his hobby.
It's a weird character term, but I'm totally into it.
I love it. I love it because he's such a just a gruff, just grunting like meathead all the time.
Yeah.
But the fact that he has grown into this character that has a soft side, who pours his feelings out on paper in the form of romance novels, it's just like fantasy, futuristic romance novels. It's just incredible. Just yeah. Bravo. Bravo for that character development. I love it. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a good time with
quality filler.
Yeah.
Minus Mona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But watching the book club that Mona left of an unconscious Nora and Sarah and Ava sitting there and them just being like, what's that? Rebecca Silver? Yeah, take lots of pictures. Okay. Should we tell her? Nah.
The book club thing I actually liked. I think it showed Sarah really cares about this lady, you know, about Ava, that she went through and read the whole book.
And
just to find out that they just boozed the whole time.
Right. And we've had enough conflict with her and Ava in this season, you know, of like, hey, you need to make time for your relationship as well as work, or at least, you know, communicate enough to where it feels like you're putting enough time in. And she, you know, they're doing the book club thing and Sarah came to join and yeah, she read the book and she ended up loving it and it helped them solve mysteries. It's always the doormat.
Uh-huh.
And it is.
If it's not broke, don't fix it or whatever the saying is.
Yeah. So speaking of solving mysteries, let's zip on over to Nate Zari in the Temple of Doom, where he is Dr. Jones, and she is, I forgot the name already. I don't know why. I think I'm hungry.
I was going to say Short Round?
No. Well, yeah, she's Short Round. Yeah, he's going to kiss a little Asian boy.
What a twist.
Oh, man. Yeah,
she's very attractive, by the way.
She is.
I don't know if they're like just. It sounds weird and kind of bad when I say prettier up this season, but I don't know. I don't know. Like even the dress and everything that they do is like I buy it as like, oh shit, like finding it out like this chick is very, very attractive.
It's funny because it works too. Because a lot of times girls will be like, yeah, this is my normal like go to, and then they might start primping a little bit more when they start to realize that they like a guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole thing was kind of an adorable setup. Just watching him get to kind of be in Indiana Jones in a sense, you know, minus the crazy temple stuff, was pretty adorable. That's definitely like his comfort zone. That's his favorite movie. That's his like dream. And Zari's along for the ride.
The tripwire.
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you asking me to? I'm asking you to hold my coat.
I was like, oh, that's fucking funny. Because I think we all expected her to do it. And like the classic, like, sexy lady crawling through.
Right. And, look at this. And him just like sweating and eyes popping out of his head. Yeah.
Him stealing up.
Turned it on its head. I loved it. and Bob, I know you're a fan of puns. So how did this episode do you?
The Indiana Jones stuff, the show's always been so good at pop culture references. But yeah, I'm a big fan of puns when it comes to movies and the TV shows using them, right? I mean, I'm a pop culture nerd in general, so where we'll joke around, throw down lines and things from movies and And so they did it real well this week, and they've always done it real well. And it's one of the things I appreciate the most out of Legends.
And it works. It always works in Legends. You know, it's fun. It's campy. It's a little bit cheesy sometimes, and puns are there and stuff like that. But it always just feels like a team of kick-ass adventurers just, I don't know, being casual and having a good time while they solve time magic mysteries. Magical time mysteries? There we go. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's good. And again, always being able to pull and not doing the same thing over and over again, because I don't think we've had an indie episode.
Yeah, no, not really.
So, yeah.
I don't think they really have. I mean, maybe like little ones here and there, but nothing
major like this.
Nothing major, but this was like a very indie themed mission.
Yeah.
Perfect for a first date and first kiss. So Ava and, well, okay. Let's their first kiss situation was kind of weird.
Does it hurt here?
Yeah.
Does it hurt here?
Like it felt kind of, I don't know, I guess like genuine.
Because I think they teased it enough throughout the episode where they were getting close in those,
you know what, you know,
situations.
What? No, it was weird, but it's absolutely a thing that would happen between two people who are close enough to know each other really well, but are kind of getting to know their own feelings for each other. And who have a stronger bond than just, oh, I met this guy and I think he's cute. Like, they've been working together and getting mm-hmm. to know each other for a while. It felt intimate enough. I don't know. It was a little weird, but it felt like a real moment between people. With her kind of like, she's being sweet, but she's also kind of teasing him. I don't know.
I think it fits her character.
It does. She's like weirdly nurturing because she's very like, no, I don't feel like, shut up.
Yeah.
But she's like oddly nurturing as a person.
Only in private.
Right. Exactly.
I won't do that shit in front of other people.
Exactly. Exactly. She gets embarrassed. It's kind of cute. So Ava and Sarah pop into the mission that they were on, though, and
because they all thought it was a setup.
It was legit. Like, the fight choreography was beautiful. It was an Indiana Jones scene. Like, it was they were all channeling Indiana Jones.
Gotta,
like,
bring in the whips.
100%. Like,
you gotta,
yeah,
have the knives. You gotta have the Nazis. Yep, we're indie. Full indie.
It was so good. It was so, like, it was tropey in a good way. Like, it beautiful. A+, guys. I loved it. But now we have a dragon egg. So what the hell is going to happen with that? Are we going to use it? Are we going to hatch it and use it? Are we going to train it? Game of Thrones, Legends of Tomorrow edition.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Are we, how is this born? How do we
train the dragon to fight for good? I don't know.
We're taking on Neron. We're going to fly the dragon to hell.
Listen, any excuse that I have to have dragons in a show that I love, I'm pretty much on board.
It's so weird that they chose dragon after, I think it was the finale of last season where Constantine brings the dragon head to them and said, yeah, you fuck things up. Maybe that's like a fix or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it might be. It might have something to do with that. Some sort of weird little paradoxical thing of some sort. I don't know. But,
Who rides the dragon?
Oh, Sarah. Obviously, she's the leader. someone else is going to ride Mona into battle. Wolfed out. Wolfie, run fast.
Jesus. I just see her on all fours.
Do you think it's a dude in that, like, suit? Yeah, it looks like a man.
I would have to say it looks just like size alone.
Yeah. Well, it looks like facial structure, body structure. It looks like a man.
Yeah.
And who is also wearing padding.
Yeah. They're not dressing her up or anybody that looks like her. So.
And she's so teensy compared to like when we saw her shrink down in like the Pride and Prejudice episode. She's so teensy compared to the person that plays Wolfie.
And the fabric in her clothes is remarkably snaps back.
Durable, yeah. The elasticity is incredible. What a phenomenon.
Hmm.
So we've got, what, 3 episodes left?
Yep.
I mean, any predictions? You are the prediction master.
Theory master, I guess. I don't know with this one. I always wonder what's going to happen with the magical side of it. So we have now Gary and Neron in Nora and Constantine. And I think there's going to be some battle. And I almost feel like Nora's going to go down somehow.
Yeah.
It could only because I think Ray
got offered a gerb.
And Ray never gets his happy ending.
Aww.
I mean, that's the Arrowverse way for him. I lose my wife, I lose Felicity, now I lose Nora.
And
so I honestly don't know where they're going with this. It's hard to say in how they make history and try to tie up all these different things. And does Constantine exit? You know, what goes on? So this is probably the Legends is the most difficult show just because of the craziness for me to sit here and try to run down theories or come up with them. You know, that makes sense because we had Bebo fucking the Destroyer be the savior of the world last year.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If I would have called that, you guys would have all thought I was super, super high.
Seriously. And now, like, there's Bebo references all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I feel like I'm blanking on theories in general for this show, but that's
just,
okay.
Yeah, it's, like, again, this one's a lot tougher just because of the spontaneity of the storylines and the things we run into that we just don't know. I mean, there's no writing on the wall. There's no source material to go off of that says they're following this storyline you know, volume 2 of this book.
Yeah,
we don't absolutely have that.
It's its own thing. And that's part of what makes it really beautiful and fun is there's kind of no rules. They're the misfits. They're the Breakfast Club kind of the Arrowverse.
Zero expectations.
Yeah. So I'm excited. We'll see what happens. I think that's going to wrap things up for today's DC on RMD Legends Edition. You can always catch our past and future episodes through the Rain Man. No, you can't.
DC on RMD.com.
Is it changed?
Yep. I bought it.
Woo!
So now you can find us on DC on CW.com or DC on RMD.com.
Damn it. See, it's hard, guys. We're trying. We're trying so hard.
Yeah, well, you know, 4 or 5 years of establishing this thing we do. And
there's been so many changes this year. All right. Well, that's going to do it. We will catch you next week.
People want cuddles.